So the reading is Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
Well, good evening. There seems to be quite a few of us here this evening. And good evening to everyone at home. So this evening we have our final talk in the series about trusting God in difficult times. And we're going to be looking at what Psalm 91 has to say to us, which Ollie just read beautifully. It really is a beautiful poem. Well, Psalm, but it's poetic. It's beautiful. I think the first time that I really heard it was right at the beginning of the first lockdown, if anyone can remember that far back. And we were having the daily prayer meeting on Zoom. And I can't, it might have been you, Chris Murray, that read it out, but somebody read it out, Psalm 91. And I remember thinking to myself, that's just lovely. It's really, really comforting. What a beautiful psalm. And it was like, just what we needed to get through in the what we were calling then unprecedented times. But we don't seem to use that word anymore because it's not really unprecedented anymore, this lockdown. I don't know if you can remember, but I can remember the absolute shock of hearing Boris say that everything was closing. I remember standing at the bottom of the stairs shouting, "Jacob, they're closing the pubs!" and it was... it was almost, it was so shocking and something so unusual that it was almost like an excitement, if that's the right word. And then all of a sudden you get this feeling in there, like it's a bit cold, and that's fear. And that's what it felt like. So after this meeting, I went back to the psalm and I reread it. And I thought, hang on a minute, what does this mean? So this evening, I'd like to look at three things relating to Psalm 91. Most importantly, what does it actually mean? Secondly, what does it mean to us individually? And finally, how can we use this psalm in our lives today and in the future? So what does it mean? It's beautiful. The language is beautiful, no matter what version of the Bible you read it in. It's uplifting and comforting. Why do we feel comforted by it? On initial reading, it can seem obvious why we're comforted, because it sounds like we're being told that once we're a Christian, once we're following Christ, we're sorted. God's going to look after us. Nothing bad is going to happen to us. And he says he's going to save us from the fowler's snare, from deadly pestilence, from terrors at night and arrows by day, etc. So, can we go out then and tell everyone they don't need to get the vaccine? Can we cross the road without looking? Can we walk into the middle of a war zone and be safe? Of course we can't. That's not how this psalm should be interpreted. If we look at Matthew and Luke, we'll see an example of how not to interpret the psalm. We read there that when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, Satan gives us an example of how we shouldn't use this psalm. It says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" That's verse 11 of this psalm. Jesus, of course, knew that Satan was misusing the psalm and rebuked him, saying, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." I'm sure that everyone listening here and at home, no matter how long you've been a Christian, has had bad things happening in their life. Loss, hurt, pain, in a variety of forms. We know bad things have happened to us, and we know bad things are going to happen to us. So what does this psalm mean? How do we interpret and understand it as it's meant to be understood? Let's read it as it's intended to be read from an eternal perspective. Eternal. It's difficult for us as human beings to comprehend eternity, something without end. Because in our heads, everything has to have an end, because we're human beings and that's how things work in this world. That's how it works in my head anyway, I don't know about yours. Even if we picture space in our mind, if we go out onto a clear night and look up into the sky and see all the stars that just seem to go on forever, even in our head, that has an end. I don't know whether it does for you, but it kind of does because we can't do it. Our mind can't do it. I find the way that works for me is I picture a piece of string that starts at my feet and goes into the distance. Further than I can see, it just keeps going. And then what I do is I look down and I look at the first few inches of that piece of string and I think, that's my life here now, that small part of it. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, we have eternal life. That's what we're promised. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This psalm alludes to that promise. The promise that we have in Christ, that if we believe and trust in him, we will have eternal life. We will be saved. So when we read this psalm, we're not thinking of it in the context of this life that we have now. Not only this life, but in the context of the life like the piece of string that goes on forever, for eternity. So let's think about it, what it means to us as individuals. How does it help us to trust God in our difficult times? In the difficult times that we've had, that we're having now, and that we may have in the future. As we read through it, many of the examples feel quite abstract to us and not really relevant to us today. It was written in a time and a culture very different to ours, but we can get much from it. The poetic language paints a beautiful picture for us in verse 4. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." For me, that immediately brings to mind an image of a protective mother bird shielding her young. Shielding from the cold, from the sun, from attack, from death. It brings to mind Jesus, who protected us by going to the cross and taking on our sin in order to save us. He gave his life that we may have eternal life. We're given this wonderful image to describe the protection and the promise that we've been given. God speaks through this psalm, especially at the end when the narrative changes to God speaking in the first person. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him because he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the part that addresses the now. It answers the question, what about when something truly awful happens? How will I cope? How will God help me and protect me then? We know that bad things happen. We live in a broken world, but we also know that we're saved. By the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, we're saved. He's promised us eternal life, but how do we cope in this life when things are bad, when they're going wrong, when we're hurting? Think about our recent sermon series on Lamentations. The whole book is about people crying out to God. During that series, we learned that God wants us to do this. He wants us to cry out to him. And he told us right here in this psalm that when we do, he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will be with us in trouble. I've recently finished reading Job, as will anyone else who's following the Bible in a year program. Now there's a man who's suffering, just about every kind of suffering. And he's crying out to God, not just because he's complaining, although he is complaining, but because he trusts that God is hearing him. Despite his suffering, he still has faith and he still trusts God. In Job 19, verse 25, after chapters of lament in his suffering, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. What God says in verse 15 of Psalm 91 is that he will hear us and be with us in times of trouble. Not that trouble won't happen, but that he will be with us in it. To use a quote from a much esteemed clergyman I know, God promises to deliver us not from our suffering, but in our suffering. Thanks, Dad. I'm very conscious that we use our current situation, the pandemic, as an example of our worst time of trouble. For many, it is the worst thing that we've been through. Perhaps we've lost loved ones, suffered with our mental health, lost businesses, been totally isolated. Perhaps we've had to go through cancer treatment alone without our loved ones. Yes, for many, this is the worst time. However, for other people, myself included, it's not the worst thing I've been through. I haven't lost anyone. I have both my children with me, and I've continued to work. In fact, sometimes I feel guilty at how easy I've had it when others have suffered so much. If you're like me, you'll have other things that are your worst time or your time of trouble. Perhaps the loss of a parent, a child, an illness, a relationship breakdown. The list could go on. I don't know what your darkest time is, and I don't need to know. What I do know is that we all have one, or we all have a few maybe, and we can reflect on it. We all know what it feels like to be in our own darkest place. Did you feel God there with you at the time? Be honest. I can only talk from my own experience, so allow me to share with you. I have two darkest times. The first one was in 2015 when I was diagnosed with cancer. I went on to have four surgeries, chemo, and other treatments. Did I feel God with me? Not at first, the shock of it, but then someone prayed for me for a sense of peace. And I felt that sense of peace. I can look back and see that God was very much with me, often through the love of others. Meals left in my porch, cards, sweets, messages, prayers. And I did have a sense of peace. Not that I didn't have many wobbles along the way. It's mainly looking back that I can see God in it. In the midst of the trauma and feeling loss of control, all I could do was trust that he was there. But afterwards, I look back and think, yep, he was there, definitely. And as difficult as it all was at the time, God used those difficult times over and over again, enabling me to get alongside others going through similar things. In fact, I remember a friend saying to me, following the second of my dark times, the fairly catastrophic breakdown of my marriage, he said, "Well, God will use this too. It'll be another string to your pastoral bow." Thank you, Will. And he has, and it was. Both of my darkest times eventually brought me closer to God. And he used those experiences, awful as they were at the time, to equip me and to build my faith. However, during those times, in the midst of it, it was a matter of trusting that he was there, clutching onto him and holding tight. God will be with us during our darkest times. He's promised. Even though at the time we may be too overwhelmed to feel him, he is with us in our darkness. It's at these times where we have to cry out to him, trust that he's there. Because he is there, and he will lead us gently out of those times. My favorite verse in Romans 8 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That is what we should cling to in our difficult times. He's with us in our suffering and will save us through it. Think of the story of Joseph in Genesis. All he went through, being sold as a slave by his brothers, being falsely accused and thrown in jail. Yet on his deathbed, he said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 21, "You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. But not a hair on your head will perish." He's telling them that they might die, but yet that they won't perish. We have that same assurance. We don't have all the answers as to why bad things happen. But this psalm talks to us about trusting God in all circumstances. God's love transcends the struggles of this life. So finally, how can we use Psalm 91 in our lives today? We don't actually know who wrote this psalm. It's anonymous. But that's not really relevant because it could have been used by the Israelites in captivity. It could have been used by David in battle. Right through to us here in the 21st century and everything in between. The list in the psalm of all the things that could happen to us may not be relevant to us today, although I do think that pestilence could have a parallel with COVID. But I'm fairly sure that none of us sleep in a tent and lions and cobras don't pose us with much problem. However, we all have fears and things have happened to us in the past, and we fear things that may happen in the future. That's what all this psalm covers, our darkest times, our darkest fears. We've been assured that God will be with us in these times. We're never alone. We need to trust He is there and offers us eternal protection. Remember, God's love transcends the struggles of this life. It's here in those struggles. He's here in those struggles, and we're beyond for all eternity. We can use this psalm as a very personal prayer, and I'd like us to do that right now. As the band come up, I'd like us all to think about our fears. Perhaps they're the things that we don't like to think about. Perhaps they're the things that come to us in the night when we can't sleep and we're lying awake and everything seems so much worse. If you're willing, and in your own hearts, I'd like us to pray this prayer together to make this psalm a template for our own prayer, one that we can pray right now and also take with us to pray whenever we're fearful, whenever we need to remember that God promises to be with us in the troubles of this life, but that that promise transcends those struggles and offers us salvation. Pray with me now. Father God, I dwell in your shelter and rest in your shadow. Thank you. You are my refuge and my strength, and I trust you. Cover me with your protection and let me find safety there. Your faithfulness will protect me and your love will keep me safe. I bring before you now my deepest wounds and darkest fears. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that because you love me, you will rescue me. You will protect me because I trust you. You will hear my cry and be with me in my darkest times. You will deliver me and honor me with eternal life. Thank you, Father. Amen.